I do pray the words. There's a sweet spirit in this place, and Mary and I have certainly encountered that from you this week. I don't know if I was eligible to vote. I'm kind of a newcomer. I'm being naturalized into Paisano, but I did vote, okay? Those words that there's no doubt that we will be revived when we leave this place. God's waiting. He wants to do his work. And so I keep praying all of us will be open to what he wants to do. And so many other words I wish I had time to say. I will say, Levi Price, I made my penance last night about the cook shed. I'll be by your side to serve during lunch, okay? And also, Levi, thinking about Barry up here, all the stories that are here. Think about Barry. It was Levi that I think their son, Evan Moak, was the first again in a long line after Dr. Truett had baptized people here to be baptized right next to where we are. And Kathy Hillman and your family, the Mitchell family. I hate to start calling names because of overlooking somebody, but please know that we are grateful of becoming a part of your history and this legacy. And also, Jennifer and Ben, thank you for blessing us today. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word. And again, we're going to return today, as we've been thinking about roads we walk, to return today to the 23rd Psalm, because I want to help us think that maybe, you know, I mentioned last night, I want to live in this moment, making the most of it. I don't want us to all of a sudden start thinking about going back and lose the gift of this day. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But two, I just want to do a little reminding about the high country, that just when we go back home, you don't have to leave the high country of Paisano, okay? And then tomorrow, I'm not sure of everything involved with the memorial service, but it is interesting. We will pick up tomorrow, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But also, tomorrow, we're going to find out a home is closer than we ever think. So, listen now, the 23rd Psalm. And then if I'm going to invite you again, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God, okay? The Lord is my shepherd. And let me say this too. I know this is so familiar. What I'd like you to do, I'm not going to read it several times, but there's a process called Lectio Divina. It's where you read a passage and you allow it to speak to you. I want you to do the sermon today in a way. And so as I read this, or as you look at it, what are the words? What word just grabs you? What word is the Spirit seizing your heart with today? So do that as I read. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths, the roundabout paths, for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lord. You know, there are stories that we hear often time to time again in church, and even I know our members hear stories time and time again in our church. The other night, Todd apologized Dr. Brooks about preaching a sermon and that he would recognize it, I would be very just delighted if my congregation said, "You've preached that before, you know? Hey, was that a new sermon, Pastor?" You know? But the Bible filled with those stories. Stories never grow old that have truth. They just have the possibility and the power to keep enlightening. So I tell you an old story that perhaps most of you have heard about the man walking down the street, and there he is, and he's not paying attention, and he falls into a hole. There he is. The hole is so deep, there's no way to get out. It's straight on the sides. He can't climb out. And so as he looks up, asking for help, a physician walks by. And the physician, what he does, he looks down into the hole. He writes out a prescription for the man. Sorry, Dr. Moak, okay? He writes out a prescription for the man. He drops it in the hole. He goes on his way. Next, one of the clergy comes by, a minister. He looks down into the hole. He offers a prayer, writes a prayer, drops it down for the man. He goes on his way. Then shortly, this third man comes walking by. He looks down. The man looks up at him. And this third man jumps down in the hole with him. To which now the one who's been trapped is incensed, saying, "Why didn't you go get help? Now both of us are down here in this hole and we can't get out." To which the third man replies, "Oh no, sir, wrong, wrong. You see, I've been here before and I know the way out." That's the 23rd Psalm, especially that verse as we think about walking through the valley of the shadow. We have one. Those were great hymns that we had today, Jim. "Never alone, he leadeth me, the good shepherd." It is that we have one who's been there before and he knows the way out. And all of us have spent time in the valley of the shadow. Maybe that even happens in the majesty of Paisano. Some in the valley of the shadow, as the hymn says, where daylight fades and life is dark, when night is long and faith is so hard. A number of years ago, I received an email. I get a lot of those, I might say. Sounds like my first one, but no. I received an email. I get a lot of them because of our services on TV, not just from our congregation, but I received an email from a woman, and she began by describing that she had recognized me from TV while we were both in a doctor's office. And so we were in the waiting room, and I don't like waiting rooms. I don't know anybody who really does, Dr. Moak. And then they take you into a smaller waiting room, you know, and then you wait there. But I'd been getting up and going out and been on the phone, you know, that kind of behavior. And so she said that when they called me back, that she had recognized me, and she strongly felt that God wanted her to share something with me. And I'm sorry, pastors, a lot of times we really get nervous when people say, "God told me to share something with you. Is it a word from the Lord?" But let me say something. And you can draw your conclusions by what she said, but I took her word after I read it as a true moving of the Spirit. We talked the other night about often our uneasiness about the Spirit, because we're really too much into control. And so it is of how the Spirit comes to lead us into all truth and sees things that we can't see And even how people, how God works in those amazing ways through other people. But I share with you the very personal email that she wrote me. She said, "When you came back into the waiting room, the word that first came to my heart was dry and weary. Sometimes the Lord shows me pictures or words or both. In your case, it was both. I saw a vast desert. The ground was cracked and incredibly dry and thirsty. You were there, and you bore an incredible burden. I felt like the Lord told me you're carrying a very heavy burden right now that has left you weary and even dry. God's overwhelming love and compassion for you is amazing. And I could see such a picture of the Father loving you, his Son. The Lord told me you are in a season that has left you weary and carrying this burden. A season. The dry wasteland that you have walked carrying your burden will become an oasis to those who you connect with. He's pouring out new wine in this new season, new anointing in your life in this season. He is also giving you a fresh passion and vision and perspective. I felt like the Lord said that all these things will become new as you continue to trust Him. Your thirst will be quenched, and the Lord will remove the burden as you trust Him. The Lord is giving you fresh eyes to see His heart, fresh ears to hear His voice. You have clarity. You will be filled to overflowing. He's raising you up in a new way, and in this new season that He's taking you into. You've been prepared for it, and I believe you've longed for it. And so it is, the dry bones will be raised up. You'll be taken to the high country, and there you will know even the greater than the former." She's ended by saying, "I hope this bears witness to your spirit and you don't think I'm a nut." You know, we talked about, and we know the excesses of people, but in a way, how could I ever call her a nut? So it is. May the Spirit speak to us tonight, or this morning, about what you need in your life. And it's interesting, too, that a month later, I went with our high school kids to summer camp, and they had changed. They went to Colorado. And another part of the email, she talked about that God's going to take me to this green valley that will be surrounded by these mountains, a kind of a new image of the Valley of Dry Bones. So I went hiking with the kids, and it had become a tradition for them. And we get up to this peak, and sure enough, it's an old glacier area. There was this green valley surrounded by the high country right there. Oh, sometimes we just don't know who can be prophets or the people God puts into our lives to help us go to the high country and all. And so, yet what if the darkest valley is the very way to the high country? What if, in fact, the valley of the shadow is the only way to the high country? What if it is in the shadow and dark valley we discover, "I trust Him though I can't see, for he still leads, he leadeth me. The shepherd leads us, and the way to the high country of abundance and freedom goes through the darkest valley. One of the reasons that we can often miss Easter is we don't go to Good Friday or Maundy Thursday. You know, even the New York Stock Exchange closes on Friday. But the day that God saved the world, one time we had a Christian group that had a golf tournament, you know. I'm not trying to be critical, but it's just an interesting irony to me. And so it is. We come to Easter and we're expecting Easter. Instead of coming in, and like they used to say in Kentucky, and drop jawed amazement. And so it goes through the dark valley, and often the valley for us, God just doesn't send us into it. It's a term Sheldon Von Ocken used about a relationship with his wife who it really had become, they just had room enough for each other, and she got cancer. But out of that, they developed this capacity for God and for each other that they never would have known. And the title of his book is called A Severe Mercy. There might be severe things in which we go through, but always trust they are always merciful. And so during the summer months in Palestine, in the grazing pastures for the sheep, even happens for cattle, can become a bare wasteland. Even though the low country, it's secure, we can't survive. None of the sheep or humans in the low country forever. There would come a day when a caring shepherd had no choice but to take the sheep up the ascent of the dark valley, but to the high country where the air is fresh and cool like Tuesday, where the table is prepared for them like it will be tonight. And so the journey through the dark valley and up the mountain was long and hard. The trails were narrow, filled with trials. Easier to stay at sea level in the low country. Have you just settled? I settle at times for living in the low country. It might be safe, but it won't be satisfying for long. The good shepherd, he will lead. He knows the way through the darkest valley. That preposition through, it's more than grammar. It is a promise. He will guide us through to the high country of abundance. Deep within us is a desire, a longing to move to this high country. Not just a place free from problems, but where it is an intimate relationship. It is about this kind of longing that we have. It's like the psalmist says, my soul thirsts for the living God, that we all, I'm going to say a little more about this tomorrow, but why do you think, if you look in our hymnal, Fred Craddock says this, we have so many hymns that talk about coming home. You see, still in us is this remnant that aches for home and longs for this relationship with God that he has prepared for us to leave the boredom or the mediocrity or the addictive habits and behavior of the low country. We can't just be airlifted there. It's not like we heard even the other day, beam me up, Scotty. It's following the good shepherd through the darkest valley, and yet knowing this good shepherd that the Gospel of John describes. We hear, though the thief will come to steal, pillage, and destroy, he will come to tell us we're alone, we're forsaken in the valley of the shadow, but the good shepherd comes to make life full, abundant. John 10:10, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He knows his sheep. They know his name. So as we walk in this psalm, can you say with confidence, No matter what trials we face on the trail, I will not fear any evil. How? How? The good shepherd first always knows the best way to the high country. It might not be the easy way. Usually up the valley it isn't. And also, the good shepherd, he says to whatever thief that would come to pillage us and rob us of joy, he says, you've got to come through me to get to Bruce Lampert. You're not getting him. You've got to come through me. Being afraid is one of our basic emotions, although all fear is not bad. I've been listening around here, listening for any rattles that might be around, you know. I got the idea from Bill. I think the creatures of the area flee during Paisano, but they could be saved too, maybe. And we replay our fears over and over again, and how it hijacks us from joy. And so our fears too can keep us from taking the journey to the high country. And in our faith too, wondering, okay, you've come to Paisano, you've had it, you've been to the mountaintop, you've heard Dr. Brooks' Bible studies, and I'm going to say another word about that in just a minute, Dwayne, of how he has filled our cup. And so, I mean, you fill my cup. Is there more? You know, and I thought of the old Ron Papel infomercials from Ronco. Do you remember those? The Vegematic, the Chop-O-Matic, and the Pocket Fisherman. Now that was something, let me tell you. And so he would introduce his device enthusiastically, and he would talk about it and describe it, but then he would go, and there's more, you know. There's more. Maybe too many of us. We just think we've seen it. Another worship service, you know. Been there, done that. Oh, you see, there's more. We will fear no evil, for you are with me. Could there be any more powerful words? You are with me. God is in the darkest valley. We can handle the depths or disappointments because we're not alone. It's even as Psalm 139 declares about this God. Where can I go to flee your spirit or your presence? Even the darkness will not be dark to you. They tell the story about one night, a two-story house with a family of six, it caught on fire. And so, immediately, of course, the parents getting the kids up, and yet, very quickly, that smoke began to consume the hallway. And so they were rounding up and opening doorways and getting the kids rushing down the stairway, and the smoke even continued to bellow. And so they get them outside and they're counting heads, you know, and one, two, three, one, two, three. And the youngest, they hear her crying now from the second story window. And so they're at this point with the fire in the doorway, they can't get back in, to which the father comes over and he says, honey, jump. She says, Daddy, I can't see you. And he says to her, but I can see you. Maybe you can't see him at times, but he can always see us. But even more, it's not like, again, how we heard about Bette Midler's song, you know, from a distance. He's in the smoke. He's in the darkness. He's there with us, right there alongside of us. The words, for you are with me, reveal this intimacy. We hear the pronouns and the direct dialogue. You are with me. Let that soak into your souls when you're in the valley. The shepherd goes before us when the way is smooth, when the way is and easy. He walks right beside us when the way is difficult, and he walks behind us to clean up our messes at times. The shepherd travels light, equipped just with this rod and this staff that he carries. The rod to fend off enemies that could devour the flock. Our great enemy is the evil one, the father of all lies, who seeks to create confusion. If his voice sometimes is hard to hear, it often is a whisper, but diabolos, it is a contraction that means he wants to throw things into confusion. And it doesn't mean we don't have questions, but he comes to confuse. And he whispers, the shepherd cannot be trusted in this event. The evil one will use all kinds of tricks and treachery to seduce us. It is a bold-faced lie in the valley that it's a dead end or that it's not the way to the high country. We have a rod today of protection, God's word. It is what, and also the witness of the saints in the church through the ages of people who've been through the dark valley. This is our rod that he's given to us. And in the Bible studies, even this morning, you know how this word protects us? It's what Dwayne said today, especially about forgiveness, because he wants to come and keep your heart unforgiving. He's going to use that, but we have this, I'm uncomfortable in some ways, a weapon. We have this resource and power to us, though, that allows us to fend off these enemies who come to devour us. And also we have the shepherd's staff. It's the signature of a shepherd. It comes to comfort us. And it's much more than just saying, oh, it's going to be all right. It'll get better tomorrow. No. It means to strengthen. It means to say an ever-present help in times of trouble. You couldn't pass the shepherd's school final exam without learning to be equipped with the shepherd's staff. It was an art. In the hands of a novice, it didn't work because, you see, it was used to guide, to lead. It was used to help sheep out of a pit when they had stumbled into it. It also, as I said, was gentle but firm in its touch that would guide the sheep when they didn't. I don't want to go to the high country, Lord. Because it goes through the valley. And so it would be the staff was used not like a whip to drive or to herd sheep. It was used with compassion. We heard gentleness to guide even the most stubborn and self-willed sheep to the high country. Today I invite you to feel his staff today, gently, firmly, guiding you to where he wants to take you. What's the high country like? Have you been there? It's above the timberline. It's where you regain your perspective and you see clearly. It's a place without fear, for perfect love casteth out fear. It's a table, again like tonight. Every time you come to the Lord's Supper, you come to the high country. When you're back on the flat plains of Houston, you know, when you come to this table, you come to the high country, you see, even when you might come limping and wounded. And so it is the high country where the chains that bind us are broken. It's being off the grid and the grind where we become still and know that God is God. Oh, you see, the high country, too, is closer than you think. Of those moments, even today, to be still and know that God is God and we're not. The high country, it's where there's no regret but only hope. I thought about the high country the other night, literally being up there at the McDonald Observatory. And as they described, way beyond my pay grade, you know, the constellations, I did get Polaris, the North Star. It doesn't move in its position. It's always there, that we might regain our sight and sightings. In the high country, we could see it at that observatory. Clear than I ever saw, also because our instructor had a laser that pointed it out. And it's been pointed out in Jesus Christ that we have someone who can help us and guide us. Last Friday, our children were in town, and we took them to see the new house that we're building. We're kind of beginning to get smaller with them gone, a two-story house, and doing some changing. And we wanted to see, for them to see it and see where their rooms would be before they went back home. And it's still hard. It's going to be hard. I mean, we've only met for a while. I don't like goodbyes. I'm going to get moisty eyes when we drive out to drive to leave Paisano, you know, and especially with my kids. And it was hard, especially to see our granddaughter leave. And also, families have challenges, and there had been some challenges during our time together. We're not perfect. I can be hard on myself as a dad. I have to be honest, everybody had left. I was sitting in front of the house, and the high country wasn't on my horizon. And then, after everybody had left, and feeling a bit in the valley of the shadow, one of the construction workers approached my car. At times, I don't like being recognized in Abilene, but this was an occasion I'm grateful. He came up, and he knew who I was, and he asked if I had a Bible verse for him that day. And I was a little taken off guard. I'm sorry. Dwayne quotes scripture better than I can find it in the Bible, you know? And the fact was, I thought, I'm a pastor. I got to come up with something. Where's my phone? A Bible app? Come on, you know? But I detected that this was more. And the passage that first jumped to my mind was what we heard the other night. Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. For this God and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard. That word literally means like a sentry. You got to go through it. Will guard your heart and your minds in Jesus Christ. And so he said, the man said, I needed that. He thanked me. I said, no, let me thank you. Wasn't it interesting? This old preacher, this painter, covered in paint dust, took me to the high country. Oh God, how he works in ways for us to see today, or when you go home. Be open to some maybe surprising or unlikely way that God will come up to you and take your hand and say, I want to take you to the high country today, and trust me, I'm going to be with you when we go through the valley. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, whatever it is, and especially through your word, our fumbling and failing words cannot convey, but whatever it is your spirit has said to us today, help us to hear it. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.